Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
It's the Dork Podcast with Rich Keefe. It's the Dork Podcast.
And Brian Davis.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag
Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork, a very special episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Ray Von Day. All hail the King of Ginger Ale. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Having a great night. I just had a nice dinner. It was lovely.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Also, we're not going to spend a lot of time on it in this episode, but Davey put together a trailer reaction breakdown video for The Odyssey.
It was exhaustive. I apologize in advance. Oh. I get really excited about this stuff.
Don't apologize, Ryan. I thank you for it. You can find it on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram at Dork Podcast for all of those places. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. What we're here to talk about today... Oh my God, wait a minute. It's another Ryan Davey joining us. Rye, the girl, how are you?
I'm great. So excited.
The reason I went out to a nice dinner tonight, it's Mrs. Davey's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Davey. Unbelievable.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Birthday.
She's coming true, joining us on the podcast.
And here I am. Yes.
Excellent.
Well, our daughter is also adamant that she make her podcast debut when we talk Stranger Things. She is like,
can't know,
like,
you yeah, she was ready tonight. She was like, I'll come, I'm ready.
Like, no, we need to watch three more episodes, right? Three more episodes coming on Christmas, and then I'd be happy to have her on. So that sounds very good. Is there more? Yes, there is. It's Billy D. Billy, how are you?
Hello, I am fabulous.
This is exciting. This is for a movie with such a great ensemble. I figure we needed to assemble our own ensemble, and that's what we're doing for the 40th anniversary of Clue. This movie came out December 13th, 1985.
The day before my birthday. And
you're a December baby too.
Yes. Well, I'm 83, but close enough.
Yeah.
Two years, 2 days.
Give or take. It's all around it. And it's not do very well in the box office, which we can get to that a little bit, but it ran, I think, daily on Comedy Central throughout the 90s and early 2000s.
I watched it almost every day, it felt like, with my sister. This, and for some reason, Major League 2 always played, which I also love.
Which is also a fantastic movie in its own right, but not what we're here to talk about today.
No, this is oddly not really available right now. Like, I have the DVD somewhere in like the attic. I have the DVD. Then it was like streaming on MGM Plus. So I got like a free week of MGM Plus, which I have to cancel just so I could watch this. But like for a movie that used to be on everywhere and you couldn't avoid it, now I'm like, what? I have like, 10 streaming services, brag, and not one of them had Clue. I was like, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, how is this not readily available for people to watch?
I rented it for $3.99 just so I wouldn't have to remember to cancel MGM Plus.
Smart. Good call.
I own it on many mediums. I own it on Amazon. I have a digital copy and I have like the DVD somewhere as well.
But like how this isn't on Pluto or Tubi is fascinating to me. I'm like, they have so much content and like you don't have Clue. But
I mean, if you really needed to, I could just come to your house and pretty much recite it.
He'll act it out. One man show.
That's what we're here to do. That's great. So obviously this will be all spoilers. If you guys haven't seen Clue, we couldn't recommend it enough. It is a classic whodunit. It's a mystery. It is a comedy. And Rye the girl and I were talking right before we started this. It holds up. like for not all 80s comedies. In fact, most 80s comedies, it's what makes them an 80s comedy, is it does not hold up at all. This one does. I watched it two nights ago for the first time in forever, and I couldn't believe like what a delight and what a treat it was from start to finish. Like, this movie's fantastic.
I think that's one of the things too. Yeah, it just I was blown away by how well it held up too. Mm-hmm. And I think it's setting things earlier. I think, when does this take place, in like the 70s or something?
1954.
54. Sorry, Jesus. But setting it in that time period, it makes it kind of timeless. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really matter. It aged. I remember thinking about this aged really, really well.
Yeah. And powerhouse actors.
Holy so shit.
Giving unbelievable performances. Like Madeline Kahn, I think was raw. Like, she passed away way too soon, but she was robbed of a Lucille Bluth-esque career later in life. Cause she was, I don't know if anybody saw Mixed Nuts. Like, she was awesome. She's awesome in everything. Like, I've loved her as looking back at, History of the World, Bride of Frankenstein. She's brilliant.
I remember thinking, even as like a kid watching this and not knowing how like Oscars work, but being aware of the Oscars and being like, that recognizes the best actors and the best actresses, and watching Tim Curry run from room to room to room and talk so quickly and have this back and forth, like every character in there. I'm like, I don't think you can do better than that. And I still don't. Like, as I got older, and then you see what actually wins and what doesn't. I know they never really give comedy much credit, but you're like, that is one of the single greatest performances I've ever seen, is Tim Curry as Wadsworth. It's hilarious. It keeps the whole movie going. He interacts with everybody. It's great physical comedy, and it's like sharp talk. Like, I don't know. Like,
You'd have let it.
He crushes this movie. I don't want to give away my MVP for later, but like, there are a lot of really good candidates, and everybody's good in the movie, and I feel like he's kind of like next level.
But this, and I think this was like his first turn in like comedy, right?
I think so, because he was like a Rocky serious, Horror serious before this.
Rocky Horror Picture Show, I believe, was 75. I think that came out, I want to say, 10 years prior to this. They're both cult classics. Yeah,
that was like musical theater. It wasn't, I wasn't like straight comedy. Like, this.
No. That's what I mean, though. Yeah. Like, and they said they shot this like a stage play, basically, because they wanted it to have that pacing and that feel. And they said, like, that performance, like, they had to do a million times, because there was more than just the three endings that were distributed to theaters.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a bunch. So like, they did that over and over and over again.
I have some of this for later on in the episode too, but John Cleese was like originally in talks to be Wadsworth.
Anyway, so, who that is?
Yeah. So, you do. Monty Python.
Yeah.
The tall guy. He's called Mondo.
Yeah. You would definitely know who he is. And so this was also going to be a John Landis. John Landis ended up getting, I think, like part writing credit and is like a producer on the film. Landis, he was going to direct it. And then he ended up doing Spies Like Us, the Chevy Chase movie, around the same time. So that opened the door up to Jonathan Lynn, because they were like going through this process. They couldn't find a writer. And then he ended up writing it and directing it. And this guy went on to do like My Cousin Vinny and like a whole bunch of movies. But
like, to your point, he was a British playwright. Like, so he is like, that's his background. And you can definitely feel it. And like you said, just the way the set works and like how it's a huge house, but there's like everything is so close together. Like, it feels very tight. And just running room to room, and we'll get, again, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
So Clue is a PG movie. It's 1 hour, 36 minutes. Mystery, thriller, comedy, whodunit. Roddy Tease, which sort of, came in after 1985. But for those that are scoring, 73% gave it a thumbs up by the critics, which is insane. 86% by the audience, which also feels low. I mentioned December 13th, 1985. It cost $15 million to make, which also seems kind of high. I don't know what they spent that on. And it only made $14.6 million. So let's start with you, Rye the Girl. Very simply put, although it could be a very long answer, what do you like about Clue?
So I obviously grew up playing the game, number one. Played it with my friends all the time, which is how I probably came to watch the movie. And then I was like a weird kid who watched BBC shows on PBS and thought that those were like hilarious. So I feel like when I saw this, there's physical humor, but it was more like how fast they spoke and the like way that they delivered lines as a kid, I don't know that I knew everything that was funny. And then as I watched it, as I got older, I like recognized more. Mm-hmm. And I think it just built on the like lore of why I liked it.
Yeah, for sure. Billy?
I mean, it's my favorite movie of all time, still is. Even like when I was like 12, I would say it. I remember I met somebody who was also their favorite movie. They had like a Tiny Clue poster in their room. I was like, no way. But I just loved the dry humor to start. And then it kind of like once Mr. Body gets killed, it's at like a breakneck pace for the next however long the movie is. And it's just nonstop, rapid fire, joke after joke. And I remember from like 14 on, anytime somebody would do the to make a long story short, and as long as it wasn't like serious, I would go, too late. And they would always be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. I always say, I don't know how it works. I probably say like 6 to 10 times a year, the Mounties always get their man. And you're like, it doesn't really make sense. Nobody knows what you're talking about. You're like, why are you talking about
the Peacock Mounties? Peacock was a man?
Yeah. Man? Yeah, to me, it's like, It's, I mean, I know there's more than 7 actors in the movie, but let's just say like the 7 main ones, how well they play off each other. And like every other time there's like a movie with like a good ensemble cast, you end up kind of comparing it to this. You're like, everybody gets a chance to like kind of dominate for like a few minutes at a time, and they interact with each other really well. And then like, I like the movie the best when they're all together, all in the same room. I think it dips slightly when they like break off into pairs and are going around the house. When they're all in the room together, it like it's as good as it gets. Like I love that. I love it. And you're right, the humor is so good. There is like the physical comedy to it, but it's just how sharp the dialogue, it's so well written, and then the way they all just like bounce off each other. I don't know, I think it sort of like set the stage for movies like this later on.
And I think for me, there's like you said, like all you guys kind of like said the same thing, but there's also like a depth to this too that, and I think it was done intentionally because there are so many nods to the actual game, but the fact that like you can watch this movie over and over, like the game, like that you can play the game over and over and over again. It's the same setup, but it's a different game every time, right?
Yeah.
And I think they really leaned into that both with like the dialogue and the various endings and whatever. So I think the other thing too that I really did appreciate is they never treat the audience like they're dumb. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds dumb, but you watch like Knives Out or you watch like any of those movies, and like there's always this twist that like you couldn't have seen coming. And this one, they know the audience, having played the game, are automatically going to start looking for things, mm-hmm. and they lean into that. And so they never treat you like you're an idiot, even if it's a PG movie like for kids. But like you still felt smart when you figured something out.
But what's crazy is like, so it has multiple endings. And so there's also a Clue documentary. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen it. Honestly, it's not great. Like, no offense.
Oh, I was like, I've never even heard of it.
No, it's like, it looks like it's shot like on a phone.
No, like a shitty phone from like 10 years ago. Yeah. So like, not even to shit on the guy that did it, because like good for him for putting it together. He went out there and he like requested interviews with all these people, and like Michael McKean said yes, Leslie Ann Warren said yes, Jonathan Lynn, the director, said yes. So he talked to a lot of people that were involved in the movie. It kind of did, like there's a lot of it you could probably just read fun facts on Wikipedia. He also spends too much time talking about like the soundtrack and like some other stuff and like interviewing people that just like the movie. And you're like, I don't need that. So overall, a very good documentary, but there's some interesting stuff that sort of comes out of it. And one of the things, I guess, actually, I don't know where I was going, but one of the things that really stood out to me was one of these casting what ifs. So Carrie Fisher was going to be Miss Scarlet and was like set to be Miss Scarlet. Leslie Ann Warren was actually cast as Mrs. White originally. And so that might have been the dynamic. And then once Carrie Fisher couldn't do it, then even Leslie Ann Warren herself was like, I think I'm a better Miss Scarlet. And then so they sort of slid her over. They got Madeline Kahn, and obviously like win-win all the way around. So the story goes, Carrie Fisher was cast. And you got it. So this is like right after all the Star Wars, right?
Yes.
And Jonathan Lynn, the writer-director, is like, hey, I'm going to go meet with Carrie Fisher. And the Jonathan Lynn's wife is like, I think she's like a drug addict. And he's like, what? And he's like, she's like, yeah, I think she's a drug addict. So then he goes and meets with her at a restaurant. He's sitting down first. She comes into the restaurant, trips over a chair, sits down next to him and he's like, are you okay? And she's like, I'm fine. That was just an accident. I'm fine. And then he's like, the whole time they were there, she was like doing like weird sniffing and stuff. And he's like, I don't know. He's like, I'm in Hollywood. He's like, I thought everybody had like a hay fever. He's like, everybody
that. Wearing a mohair jacket or like cramping.
then she's like ready to do the movie. And then she calls him and is like, I got to like check into rehab. But he's like, okay, like, where does that stand with the movie? She's like, oh no, they'll let me out. Like, I'll film it. She's like, I'll leave during the day, film the movie, go back into rehab. He's like, okay. So then he talks to Deborah Hill, one of the producers on this, obviously one of the producers on Halloween. And he's like, yeah, Carrie Fisher said she's going to like still shoot the movie, but like be in rehab. She's like, okay, I guess that's fine. So it goes up another rung. And then finally, like the insurance for like the whole movie was like, we're not doing that. They're like, yeah. No.
I was wondering when you're going to get to the money. Like, no.
Like, no. Yeah,
that's cool. That's cool. That'll work. But like, what a different movie. And I feel like it would have been, I don't know, because like Carrie Fisher is really known mainly for Princess Leia, but like in the immediate aftermath, I wonder if the movie itself would have been like a bigger.
It would have had more star power for sure. Yes.
Maybe a bigger initial hit, but probably not as good of a. Although she's funny, yeah. She does have.
But like, I don't know, she feels young. Like in that at that time, she would have been young for that role.
Yeah, to play like a madam. No.
Yeah.
She,
I don't know.
Yeah, and true, but. On the flip side, the other side of that coin, you would not have to worry about her getting winded running room to room.
Nope.
No. She'd be all for it.
Flying.
She'd be running.
She'd be all gassed up for it. Yeah, I thought that was an interesting one. Some of the other people that were considered, doesn't say what role it was, but Carol Kane, remember from When a Stranger Calls, the original. Mm-hmm. Shelley Duvall from The Shining.
She would have been a good Miss White.
She would have been
different Miss White, but a good one.
Tim Matheson. Dude from Animal House for one of the roles, and Mr. Bean for Wadsworth. The guy who plays Mr.
Bean. He's great. That.
Rowan Atkinson. Don't like him. I can't.
Come on.
No, can you imagine I can't.
Him just going room to room.
No. No. I'm out.
Yeah, no, I would not have liked the movie either. Oh no. So this is the reason I brought up that documentary to begin with was the multiple endings. And so when this movie was in theaters, the premise was. They picked one for each showing, but it would change. So they're like, hey, there's three different endings. And so like, go see the fucking movie three different times. And it didn't work. And I think Michael McKean was even talking about like, this really wasn't a great idea. And then he's like, the people's thoughts were like, oh, like if you can't pick an ending, why am I like, I'll go see something else. And like, so I think it's kind of a little ahead of its time and it is kind of a cool idea, but I could also, I'm not surprised that it backfired like the multiple and then pitching it that way where there's like, hey, go to the theater. You're going to get a different ending each time.
But it's kind of like
streaming service thing.
It's more of a meta.
No, go ahead.
No, it's like a meta idea because I think once you saw the movie and once you were in it, kind of to Davey's point earlier, like they seamlessly weave in, we're trying to find out who killed him, where and with what. And that doesn't even feel out of place. But as the movie kind of like progresses towards the end, it kind of gets goofy, like super goofy, where Mr. Green is like, well, if you're wondering who killed Mr. Body, it was me.
Yeah.
in the hallway with the revolver. Now I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife. Like,
best line of the movie. Right.
Yeah. This is my favorite.
But like, right. I think if you like knew it was going to be goofy, then you might have been like, yeah, like the ending doesn't matter.
It's just, no, not like, really. No, yeah. No. And like, that's what's crazy is like for every other whodunit, like to Davey's point earlier, like when you're watching Knives Out, you want to watch it the second time and you're like, what clues did I miss? Because there is one killer. Whereas like Clue at the very end of this, there's three different endings. And so some of the characters are killed by three different people. And so it's not like you could watch it and be like, it was, oh, see that? It had to be Peacock.
If you watch it back during the explanation, they're showing shots that don't even match up. He's like, you're on the bottom floor with Miss Scarlet and it's him next to Miss Peacock. And I'm like, the fuck? Yeah. But they're like, I don't care.
But there's like, I was reading stuff about that too. And there's like, there's this Stanley Kubrick like esque quality to it where like the rooms don't really match up the way
it's not a real house.
No, yeah. It's a soundstage, right?
Yeah.
It's
a huge soundstage.
Like the way they talk about, well, you went from this room to this room, that doesn't
matter. Oh yeah.
You can't even do it.
Yeah.
No.
And you're right. It doesn't matter. It like I guess it probably should, but it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Is there an ending you like the most out of the three? So basically, so once they took it to like playing it on Comedy Central or even releasing like the VHS and stuff, they did what a lot of us have seen now, is where they're like, this is how it ended, or could it, or this is what really happened.
As so there's
three different endings. The third one is probably, that's the one you were talking about, the Mr. Green, right? The third one.
Yeah. So
that one's pretty good. Gets a little out of hand. Do you like Wadsworth's being the actual Mr. Body? And like the because I think that's the third one, right?
Where as a kid, I hated it because I loved Wadsworth and I was like, he can't be the killer. And I was like mad. I like always would shut it off before that ending because I was like, I don't want him to be the killer. Yeah. But they all have one iconic moment. So I think they're all pretty good because you have the 1+2+2+ like one.
So
then you have
1+1+2+1.
1+2+2+1.
And then you have the, to your point, like the Mounties, we always get our man.
Yes.
Mrs. Peacock was a man. And then the last one is probably the best one. I'm going to go home and have and sleep with my wife.
Yeah, really.
Like, they're all epic.
They're all great. I like the, I think it's the first one, right? The 1+2+1+1 or whatever, where it's like Miss Scarlet basically killed everybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, I like that. Or like a vet killed somebody for Scarlet. Mm-hmm. They were working together. And I'm like, that one's pretty good.
That one's tight because that, like, she's the madam, and it comes out that she's not really French. And
I was gonna say, I think growing up, I liked that one because I was like, yeah, ladies killing people. I like it. I'm in.
I like that one too. That was good. All right, I already tipped my hand. I think Wadsworth is the guy. I think he's the MVP of the movie. Rye the girl. Who would your MVP be?
I love Mrs. Peacock. I think she is like underrated, sneaky, the best. When she's like has that her headpiece and it keeps flapping in her face and like the physical comedy of her delivering that line. I think I cackled last night and I've seen it. I was like, couldn't stop laughing. It's so her funny. Getting,
like screaming and slapped in the face for me is like super funny.
And like carried to the couch and she thinks it's poison and she's like, ah!
So good.
And then they do it in the reenactment too. And they just
slap
and then they slap Mr. Green.
I said if I could be in that movie at any point in my life, I think I always would have picked her. That would be the character I'd want to play.
So good. When Mr. Green, he like starts out, he's like spilling his drink like all over the place on everybody. Their reaction to him when he does it, but then when Mrs. Peacock is freaking out and he slaps her in the face, and everybody looks at him, he's like, I had to. Like, okay. Yeah, she's great. And like that, whatever she's wearing, like in her hair, it's like constantly like moving around.
It's even the best.
Still, the whole thing is like,
oh, it's like its own character. I'm obsessed with it.
Good one. Billy, who do you got?
So, I mean, everybody's probably, I mean, Wadsworth's the obvious one. So I'll just go with Miss White because she is a tour de force. They said that no one was allowed to ad lib on the entire movie set. Like, they tried to keep it as strict as possible. The only ad lib line is the flames heaving, like her reacting in scenes is almost as good as her acting. Like she'll give like not even just like the cutaways, but like her reacting to other people, like her reaction to the long story short, too late is one of like the best like lookaways. Mm-hmm. She's just dynamite. And I really wish we got more of her even at that time. Like she's not in a ton of stuff and she's fantastic.
And so I read some of it like, since it was ad lib, like they had to go to a tight shot of her doing like the flames because everyone was laughing. Like, and every time she did it, they laughed. Like, she did it differently every time and they laughed every single time.
So good. You got somebody else, Fry?
I mean, I think like Mr. Green, Michael McKean is actually like really, really good in this movie too.
Oh, he's hilarious.
Just like this subtle ways, and like he does come out and say like I'm a homosexual, but like
Wadsworth's face,
but his mannerisms, or like, and he says this, and like someone else, like I think it's like Professor Plum, like gets up, or like Colonel Mustard, like gets up and like goes to the other couch.
Yeah,
but there's like subtle things that like in the 80s, like that's like you didn't talk about that, you know what I mean? So it was, and then the big reveal at the end that he wasn't gay the whole time. And like, I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife. That's why I thought that was like, and I had, you know, first time I saw this, I had no idea what the hell they were talking about, but that's the greatest part about this movie is that like the dialogue is so fast and so good that you find something new every single time you watch this movie.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Some of the lines. So we've already hit on some of like the super quotable lines. I also love the, with the back and forth is like, He said he was going to kill me in public. How would he want to kill you in public? And he's like, no, I think he was going to kill her. He was telling her in public he was going to kill her.
I also love when he, like, she's like, and cut off his, you know, and then the men all just cross their legs at the same time. Oh. Fantastic.
She goes, how many husbands have you had? She goes, mine or other women's?
Five. Just the five. Five.
Five. I forget what it was in reference to, but when someone's trying to, like, I don't know if they're like implicating themselves or not, but Wadsworth like jumps up and he's like, a double negative. Where he like jumps at the guy.
I also love the in flagrante delecto. What a line delivery. That is lit to proof positive. I'm afraid you gave yourself away. Like his enunciations too, like, yeah. Nah, kill me.
Oh, we, so I have a new one. That's the one I found last night. And we were at dinner tonight. And I said like the chandelier instead of a chandelier. He like, calls it a chandelier or chandelier. Something like that. The other thing too, I noticed Yvette.
Yeah.
Some of the French she speaks is nonsense.
Nonsense. Really? It doesn't matter.
But like,
anyone even notice? No. Yeah. That's
no. But like, I didn't notice until last night that she her responses to things like didn't make sense.
No, but isn't that if it's the first ending, then it makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
She's like undercover, so she's like, this is a character she didn't really research all that well. So
that's the best part. Like, if you know a little bit of French, you'd know that like it's bullshit. Whatever she's saying.
She was also in like a lot of those 80s Skinamax type movies. If you could,
sure was.
Oh. Yeah.
And another small
thing. She was in the documentary as well.
Was she really?
Yeah, she was. They had her in there. She looks, I'll say, different. It's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a Tane?
I saw. It's a.
No, not like.
I mean, she's.
No, not like Tawny Katane.
He's smiling down on us right now as we do this episode.
Smiling down.
There's also that great back and forth where he's like, no meeting, yes? He's like, yeah. No, yes, meaning yes.
Can I get a clear answer? Sure. What was the question?
But like that line, those lines like that remind me of, remember in basketball when like he's trying to, the guy's trying to explain to Matt Reamer. Stone, like
the Reamer.
So yeah, Reamer would have to quit basketball too. He's like, what? No.
No. That's so good. But like the way they are able to like deadpan it and have like they take turns like being like aware of what they're saying, the other one being clueless. Fantastic. It's so good.
And it's not like a line, but every time that someone comes in and they like check their shoe, it's like the Muppet Family Christmas slipping on the ice. Like, yes. I love a good running gag throughout.
100%. Yeah, because you're like, where is this going? So like the movie sort of starts and you have like the classic like thunder and lightning driving up to a house, like it's like a house on Haunted Hill style. And then Wadsworth throws these like bones to these two dogs. And then he just steps on dog poop and then walks in the house. And then every single character that greets him is like sniffing around. And like that's good. I like it. Is Clue a top three board game of all time?
I personally.
What? So there's what Jumanji?
I would say
Clue. Jumanji's not a real
Is game. There a Monopoly movie?
No.
Board games, man.
Oh, like board games. Oh, I thought you meant like board game movie.
Board game movie.
I was like, what?
Oh, board game movie.
Battleship stunk.
Battleship.
I forgot about that. I don't know about you. Think?
Yeah, it does require like a little.
It bit takes time.
It's tough. You need a pencil. Like,
so fun fact. So on the instructions to the game. It says that it's going to take 45 to 60 minutes to complete a game. Mm. And right when they start, he's like, in about 45 minutes.
I never picked that up. That's good. And the next thing you better find out in the next 45 minutes.
Yeah. He said, we'll find out in the next 45 minutes. So that's it. And the movie runs in real time.
It does. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is sick.
Because when they say like, oh, the cops will be here in like 15 minutes from when he says that, that cop shows up
there.
Dude, and also like, growing up, my grandmother, who like babysat all like the nieces and nephews or cousins, she only had two board games, Clue, which the papers were like gone for years, and then Risk. And everybody wanted to play Clue, and I wanted to play Risk. I hated Clue, which is odd that I love the movie.
Risk takes forever.
But it's more Monopoly.
That's a long time.
Yep.
Yeah, I would say Monopoly, I would say Clue, and then I was a big Stratego fan.
I like Stratego.
One-on-one, though. Like, Clue and Monopoly, though, you can play with way more than one other person.
Stratego's I like Mousetrap.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Hippos. Or 13 Dead and Drive.
Hungry Hippos were playing.
Oh, that's a great one.
I was gonna say, like, Trouble. I like Trouble.
I was a big when we pop the bubble. Guy.
Yeah, we got Bluey Trouble. We've been playing recently again. You could play as one of the four characters.
Oh wait, no. You know what's a really fun new game is Ticket to Ride.
I don't know that one.
It's like a train. It's good. There's lots of different versions. It's fun.
She's been trying to get me to play this goddamn game.
It's so fun. Just play. You'll love it.
We did not talk about, let's see, Professor
Body.
Or Mr. Body. Yeah, go ahead. So Mr. Body, even as a kid, I always
weird casting.
Well, it's a punk.
Yeah, it's Lee Ving.
I looked it up and it was like he was the singer, right?
Yeah, he was the singer of the band Fear. And if you've, they're like a pioneer punk band. If you've played Grand Theft Auto 5, you've definitely heard one of their songs. The Trouble of the Day with Women, Their Mouth Don't Stop, that song.
Mm.
You heard that song? It's problematic. Those are the lyrics of the song. I'm not saying.
Got it.
That's
understandable.
That's right here. There's right also here. One. I know you guys have heard.
Plus, all of his lines are ADR. Like, they're all additional dialogue. Like, it sounds terrible.
Well, that was the weird thing. So, I Don't Care About You is another song that they do. That's a really famous Fear song. But like, and he was in the Sound City documentary. Like, he does a song with Dave Grohl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's weird because so he was also in the Clue documentary that I was watching. And Jonathan Lynn, I wouldn't say he disliked him, but he basically he's mentioning something like the only guy on the cast. He's like, this is the first time working with somebody that basically like the the higher ups assigned. Like they wanted like a music star. Like they looked into a few other like lead
two.
Huh?
They had two in this movie.
Well, they ended up, yes, they did have, they did technically have two, but I'm saying for the Mr. Body role, they were looking into other, like, I don't know, I forget who it was, like fucking Bon Jovi. It was like guys like that they were like, which is weird because I remember even as a kid watching it and being like, this guy stands out as being a horrible actor where the other seven are just like cooking the whole movie.
He's like the kid from Stranger Things.
But he does like the Perry Farrell thing. So his name is like Lee Ving. So like it's like Mr. Body is Lee Ving Lee Ving is Mr. Body. So like there is like a play on words kind of thing. But like, yeah, I don't get why they cast him. Now, Jane Wiedlin from the Go-Go's, I do get.
Yes.
Singing Telegram. Singing Telegram.
Yeah.
She was cute.
I guess I always just thought Mr. Body was like, you never really, even in the game, like no one really cared about him.
Yeah.
It was just trying, it was a means to an end. So like,
yeah,
why not put some bad actor in there?
Yeah.
I guess.
Crazy. Yeah. I don't know. He did stand out. Yeah. The singing
he was so bad.
He was bad. The singing telegram.
His real voice. He has like this like ridiculous, like New York accent.
Yeah.
Like you could not, you had to dub him. Like it was pretty bad.
He told this story of like, so he's like old now and he like told the story. He's like, I met Leslie Ann Warren. And she was like, hey, are you in a band? And he's like, yeah. He's like, but I was married at the time. So I'm like, what is this? Like, where is this heading?
Right now? Creep.
He's like, but I could have. You're like, all right.
Oh,
speaking of Leslie Ann Warren, the first like 10 times I watched this movie, even when I saw the end credits where they had all the names up, I was convinced it was Susan Sarandon.
Yes.
I was wondering. I knew you were going to say that.
I'm like, oh, that's the lady from The Client. Like, that's Susan Sarandon.
Bull Durham.
Well, from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Right. Yeah. You're like, no, it's Leslie Ann Warren. Like, who's Leslie Ann Warren? Turns out she's also like an Academy Award nominated actress. She was in a ton of stuff. She was also in that documentary I mentioned, and she looks the same. She looks like a million and
ten. Really?
Oh, she looks great.
So nice.
So Psych.
She was in Psych.
So Psych, so, like they their first big guest star was Tim Curry. Like they love Clue. That's probably one of the reasons I love it. Like their 100th episode was called 100 Clues, and they bring in her, Colonel Mustard, Professor Plum, and they do like a whole homage. It's like, and like so many things in pop culture have like directly done spoof episodes or just basically Knives Out is Clue.
Is Clue.
Yes. Yeah. It's an elevated kind of like new Clue for the digital age for sure.
Yeah.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
We mentioned Wadsworth, Tim Curry, just incredible. Professor Plum, we haven't really talked a ton about Professor Plum.
Big creep.
Good creep vibes.
Creep.
Real creep. Yeah, real creep vibes. And also, how about 1985 for Christopher Lloyd? He's in Back to the Future and Clue.
Wow. I didn't know that.
It couldn't be more different. Like right. those two roles, so different.
That's like it's like Joe Pesci doing Goodfellas and Home Alone in the same year.
That's true. Well,
it's also like I was looking at John Landis's. I know he didn't direct this.
Yeah.
But have you looked at his IMDb, like his directing credits, like around this time?
Landis? Oh.
Hang on. Allow me.
When was American Werewolf in London? That was like 81.
No, that was early. So that was
77.
70, 81. So these are his like first. He did a movie called Schlock.
Oh, Schlock Talk. There you go.
But in order. Ready?
Oh, wow.
The Kentucky Fried Movie, Animal House, Blues Brothers, American Werewolf in London, Trading Places, Twilight Zone Movie, Michael Jackson's Thriller Video, Spies Like Us. Those are his like first directing credits.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not.
He did okay.
Yeah. I would say.
And you said he directed Spies Like Us instead of this, right?
Right. Yeah, but he still gets like, I think story by, like in the opening credits, right? I think it's like Landis and Lynn, yeah. Story by, screenplay, Jonathan Lynn, directed Jonathan.
But that movie, that documentary, was funny watching that because the guy was like, the director was like, oh yeah. And he's like, John Landis like pitched the movie to me. And then he's like, then you find out who the killer is. And he's like, who is it? He's like, we don't know yet. Like, that's why you're here. Like,
yeah. We need a writer. Yeah. I guess they went through a bunch of different writers. It wasn't working. It's funny. Jonathan Lynn. So this was his second movie. As Davey mentioned, he was doing TV and plays like in London. This was like his first real big time movie that he directed. I guess it wasn't even that big time, but 1992, he did My Cousin Vinny. He also did The Distinguished Gentleman. He did Sergeant Bilko. He did the whole nine yards in 2000,
which is a movie that Rich and I begrudgingly had to see.
That's right.
On a spring baseball trip because they wouldn't let us see.
We tried to figure this out. R-rated movie. Destination, maybe?
Maybe. Like they wouldn't let all of us into like a R-rated movie because some of the people were under 17.
Yeah.
So we had to go to see the whole nine yards.
Was that Chandler Bing?
Yes.
Chandler Bing was in there. Oh. Bruce Willis, Amanda Peet. But that might have been rated R, though. Wasn't there breasts in that?
There were breasts in that.
It was full breasts.
Full breast?
You went full breast in that.
What?
Yeah, Amanda the whole Peet, 9 years? Way, sneaky. Amanda Peet gets naked and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, other than Saving Silverman, which...
Oh, great movie.
we could do that movie next week. I love that movie, too. That's real good. Colonel Mustard, Martin Mull, another guy who everybody loves. People that know Martin Mull say he's like the funniest guy in the world. And... I don't know what my favorite thing is that he is in or was in. Sadly, he's passed. But
it's War Peacock. Like that's what he's in. Like He was the boss in Roseanne, right? Yeah.
He was in Sabrina, the teenage witch.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He's the Mrs. Motel Doubtfire. 6 guy.
He's Mrs. Doubtfire.
It's true.
Yep.
Wait, who is he in Mrs. Doubtfire?
He is Justin Gray.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
My appreciation of him grows every time I watch this movie because he kind of pushes the story forward in a lot of ways. He's like the one like leading the charge to go search the house. And he has a ton of great. He's also a coward, which I love. Yes. Like every time push comes to shove, he's the one backing off. And it's like, what are the ladies stepping up? But I've said this is War Peacock. It's a great line.
Yeah.
And then Mrs. Peacock, like every cook will tell you that. But look what happened to the cook. Everybody's back and forth. That's the thing you said. Like their chemistry is out of control for everyone.
Yeah.
What was this line when he peeks into the room and he's like, yep,
two corpses.
Just two corpses.
Corpses.
Yeah. So two corpses. Like,
all good.
We're all good here. Like,
we're all good here.
Yeah.
They used to use that as like a 5-second teaser on Comedy Central all the time where they're like coming up and it would just be like him popping his head and sticking it out, just like walking down the hallway. Like, yep, two corpses. We're good.
Everything's all right here. Just two corpses.
Just two corpses.
So Michael McKean, going back to him for a minute, Mr. Green, he was in Spinal Tap in 84 and then Clue in 85. Neither one were like box office successes, but both of them are like two of the best
cult classics ever.
Cult classic movies from the 80s that still stand up, have a diehard fan base. And I'm sure out of all the stuff he's done, people probably reference the two of them the most.
Now Better Call Saul too, but.
Well, yeah. Better Call Saul. I mean, fucking Laverne and Shirley. He was on like SNL for like a little bit. He's in all the Christopher Guest movies. Like, he's great. Yeah. But this one stands out. I would say Spinal Tap. I mean, obviously Davey likes Spinal Tap more. Spinal Tap probably like a little bit more too. But like, I don't know. Pretty great.
There's another. I know Billy's got his factoids too. Did you know like every time they go through a doorway and they like trip over each other or like bump into each other? That's a slight nod to the game because in the game you can't go through pieces like normal games.
Oh, funny. That's pretty cool. Like the stuff that they sprinkle in here is really like tremendous. I've also, by the way, given out my nuggets like slowly throughout. So I don't know if
unload the nuggets.
Every time you see a group of them go through a doorway, they like bump into each other, like run into each other.
Well, I really thought it was a smart idea too to like not make the movie overly cartoonish and have all these names just be like names to keep their anonymity, like
pseudonyms.
Right. So like, I thought that was a pretty good idea. And they were talking about this too. Like even like the costume designer they were like, the director didn't want like Mr. Green to be like head to toe green or like Miss Peacock. They did that cool headdress thing, but they didn't like fucking put like feathers all over and stuff. And like,
oh, the Mrs. White reveal is just, she's in all black, except when she opens her coat, it's white.
Yeah.
Except,
that's great.
That's cool.
Factoid, their cars are the correct colors.
Oh,
Mr. Plums is,
yeah.
Mm. That is, so, but that's like subtle. That's nice.
Yeah, subtle. Yeah.
Like when they go in there and then they're just like, and then even Wadsworth has to like stop a couple of them from saying who they are. And they're like, that's good. I like that. But like how you take any board game and then turn it into a game. Now, obviously like this one's a little bit, I guess, easier to do, but I don't know. Like they did they had such smart ideas to like, make it pretty fun, make it snappy. And I don't know, it made sense. It was like, all right, somebody died, who did it? And then it could have been anybody. And then the way they even like introduce all the game pieces, which also would have been like, all right, how do you shoehorn this in? And it's like, well, they're gifts. They all open a box and it's all the ones that we're used to from the game. Smart. I like it.
And the other that blows me away, you do all of this in an hour and 36 minutes.
Yes.
Oh, it's a breeze too.
It's so fast.
Yeah.
I always watch this like on a plane or like, you know, if I'm like on the treadmill or something, it just, time flies. I actually watched this with a lady because like I realized I got to stop showing them like Tim Robinson stuff.
Yeah.
Why?
I think that has kind of ended maybe in my two last serious relationships, showing them Friendship and then the TV show. But, like, this is a good introduction to like this kind of humor because like it is both outlandish at times, but also the beginning is like the driest humor.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I really loved it as a kid because it was so dry.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it just like that kind of stuff has always killed for me.
Yeah. Deborah Hill deserves a ton of credit because apparently the story goes, she was the one that got the rights from Parker Brothers to make a movie out of it, and it was like convinced that it was going to be something. And so even though they were going through a bunch of different writers, it was like Deborah Hill that was like, no, like there's something here. I would say she was right,
and she was right. It took a while,
but yeah, right. Long term.
Now, there have been several iterations of like people talking about a remake. The last one was in like 2022, and like Ryan Reynolds was attached to it.
Yeah,
I don't think you could do that now. But there was another thing I read last night that said that your boy was it Eggers, the guy who did Barbarian and Weapons,
Robert Eggers.
Is he?
Oh no. Zach Krieger.
Krieger. He's a
Robert Eggers, a different horror director.
Robert Eggers. I don't want to see a Robert Eggers.
Clip. No, I don't want to see Robert Eggers. Really, probably, sadly, anything. But Zach Krieger, who has like a comedy background. He's like from the Whitest Kids You Know, and then he did Barbarian and Weapons.
I just don't know who could play Wadsworth. Like literally, when they said this,
that was like we were talking last night, and I feel like we did it. Ryan did a better job than me. Naming who could play who, so, but I don't know Wadsworth.
Ahead, recast it. I had a good one. Who would you cast?
All right. I love this idea. Real quick, I had never saw it. I think there was a mini series in 2011. I never watched
it. I saw on the list you sent and I looked it up. It was like a teen clue.
Got it. All right. So I've never seen it. You're right. Ryan Reynolds mentioned it. So, all right. Let's circle back. So, who could be Wadsworth?
I honestly don't know.
Cumberbatch.
Oh.
I said maybe Hugh Jackman.
Those are pretty good.
Yeah.
Because I think you need, like, the thing to me for this is it feels like a show. There's so many times where it's on all of them at once. So, if one person isn't flowing, that can disrupt the whole scene and they have to reshoot, where I feel like you need actors who've also done stage shows. Mm. So like Hugh Jackman to me, Anne Hathaway as Miss Scarlet.
Oh, that's pretty good.
What about Vince Vaughn for Wadsworth?
I could see that. You know what? You kind of need somebody who's like,
he'd be just quick.
Yeah.
Quick as hell back and forth.
I don't know if he can run anymore.
I was going to say, I don't know if he can run like that, but...
Oh, that's Rich, who does Michael B. Jordan play?
Michael B. Jordan could play...
Professor Plum.
He could play... I think he could play Green.
No, Professor Plum. If he was Professor Plum, it wouldn't be creepy.
No, it's true. Like,
it's really creepy if you look like
too many Professor people are into it.
Yeah, they'd be like...
Plum would be a good... like Plemons.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Play Plum. Mrs. White.
Oh wait, we said
Megan Mullally.
Megan Mullally. Married to
Ron Swanson.
Ron Swanson.
Oh, she's not bad. Who's the other girl from that show? The she's the worst.
Jenny Slate.
Jenny Slate. Oh yeah, she'd be good too.
Jenny Slate.
You said for Peacock, Catherine Hahn.
Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, Catherine O'Hara. I thought you said Catherine Hahn.
Catherine O'Hara
too.
Great, yeah. Either way,
Catherine Hahn could be a good Miss Scarlet.
Yeah, she could be too.
Would you go?
I feel like she could play any of them. Sydney Sweeney is Yvette.
Oh, hands down, not even close.
Right, no, but then you said
this movie.
You said Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan would be good.
That'd be good too.
Yep, she would be good.
I'd just like to have her back. So proud of her.
She's crushing it.
I'm so happy for her.
Colonel Mustard.
Nick Offerman. So you could put Megan Mullally.
Or
Cranston.
Oh, he would be great. He would be awesome, actually.
Movies are back.
You said who did you say? Breaking Bad lawyer.
Oh, Saul. Oh,
Bob Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk. Didn't you say him?
No, I said
Bob Frank Odenkirk Cranston. Would be a good Cranston. Plum, though.
Yeah, he could play Plum.
What about him?
I'm into this now.
Yeah, well, hang on. This is working.
Wadsworth, Tim Robinson.
Yes, actually, kind of.
He could definitely do it. Yeah.
But, like, if it was in Professor Plum's world,
Connor.
Connor O'Malley.
Actually, yeah. Oh, Connor O'Malley should be it. No, Connor O'Malley. You know, Connor O'Malley can be the.
I think you should leave Clue.
But it should be.
No, O'Malley should definitely come in as the motorist. He comes in, has like five lines, and then dies. Like it would be. That would be amazing. All right,
then Patty Henderson has to be in it.
Oh, she's great.
Fine.
She could be the singing telegram lady. She could
be Miss White.
I wanted.
She could be Miss White.
I wanted Ariana Grande just to show up as the singing telegram just to get shot.
Actually, just to get shot.
She'd be kind of perfect as a singer.
It's a hard target to hit these days, though.
Yeah, I know. Just a wisp of a person.
Body, you could go.
It's got to be a singer, right?
Henry Rollins.
Could be a singer, or you could like.
Henry Rollins.
Black Flag.
Get all punk guy in there,
or you could do like a wrestler. You could get like acting wrestlers in there or something like that.
Cena? I like the slick back hair. Mm-hmm. Well, Cena, actually, Cena would be pretty good.
Oh, Cena could do this. Cena's he could do Colonel Mustard.
No, I think Mr. Body.
All right.
Yeah,
he could do that.
I think he'd be good.
All right, I think we just recasted this whole thing.
I love it.
That's pretty good.
I'm into it now.
All right, yeah, because I wanted, because what'd you say, Ryan? It was Ryan Reynolds was like kicking around the idea of like the rights or something, but like nothing ever happened.
Nothing happened.
And was it going to be him and maybe I made this up? Was it him and like Bateman? Was Jason? Oh, Bateman
yes, I think so. I remember hearing that. But like even with them, I was like, I'm just going to print out DVDs and go to the premiere and just hand them out to people and be like, just go watch this because like, it can't be better.
Yeah,
but like I don't know, you get Cranston in there.
Cranston. Okay, so according to Google AI Overview, Ryan Reynolds was attached to star in and produce a Clue remake with his Deadpool writers, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, and director James Bobin, who replaced Jason Bateman.
Ooh.
The project's called, and blah, 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 blah.
If Reynolds made himself Wadsworth, I would have been pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
have the subtlety.
I don't need that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need that.
He's like too much sometimes.
But to your point, too, from earlier with the Rotten Tomatoes, I feel like everyone in Hollywood loved, like, this is like a comedy person's comedy. Like, yes. I don't know how this isn't like 99 all the way. Cause, like, if you like this, like, kind of stuff,
yeah,
like, you should, like, everyone I know who, like, is like a comedy person loves this fucking movie.
I only want to talk about that stuff.
I love this stuff.
I love old stuff.
I love this stuff.
Ryan in the chat, I did think of Jim Parsons as like Professor Plum. Like he could do that. Sheldon?
Mm, yeah. Yeah.
But no one wants to see that anymore. No one wants to see
that. What else? Anything else? I think we hit on a lot of the best moments. Best.
Oh, Rye said she wanted your boy Alan Cumming to be Wadsworth.
Oh, he could probably do it.
I feel like he's a really good character. But now, and Ryan said, chew on the nose with traitors. And yeah, but like, he's a really good character actor.
He is.
Yeah, he is. In the next Marvel. I think we still can do the traitors as a podcast.
All right, Bill, that seems like a lot of work for you because I want to be one of the players. I don't want to
be. Yes, I will 100. I will buy the hats like that, dude. I will. I don't think it would be difficult. I was talking about it like the other night with people. You just have to like, can't do it live. You kick everybody off. You bring everybody back. Have a big text chain, two traders. How many people can you get on one of these? 10?
Yo, yeah. Yeah. You could do a round table on this. You could get at least, I think you could get 10 on here.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
It would be amazing.
Another one we'd have to keep the missus off of.
Why?
Just try to keep her off is what I mean.
Oh, like, no. She could be on. She could play.
I was like, wait, am I not invited?
No, you're
in. Oh, it's my birthday.
Get rid of her.
Get that lady out of here.
No, I was joking. I said we couldn't keep you off if we tried.
Got it.
No. What I wanted to say.
I say we do it. I said I'm ready.
Yeah, if you give me logistically, like, and I have to actually watch an episode of the show.
No, you can watch one. You don't even need to. We could just explain the rules and get ripping.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Because it is a card game. Have you ever played the card game?
So no, I want is like werewolf.
Werewolf.
Yeah, super easy. You can do it like with 8 people. Do it at Christmas.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
Yeah. Everybody puts their head down. The two killers pop up. They pick somebody. Everybody puts their head back up. Detective comes out and tries to figure it out.
Seven. Yeah. Wait, we play this at camp, but they call it like mafia or murder. Yeah.
It's always something different. It's
another name for it. Mafia. Yeah.
It's literally, I've played it for hours before. It's amazing.
Ah, that's a really good time. God damn it. I want to do that.
It's a good time.
I really want to do a whole weekend, but all right.
I agree. I think we start small.
Start small.
Then we graduate up to.
I know.
We go up to the Bretton Woods Omni Mount Washington and do it there.
And just murder each other.
Just like actual. There needs to be an actual.
Just actual murders.
I'm sold. All right, so we already gave our MVP. The worst, do you have a worst character? Is it Mr. Body? Is it somebody else? Yeah, it's got definitely. It's
terrible. The driver's pretty bad too.
I think they're so bad. I love them.
Yeah.
I don't like, because they're only in it so briefly, and so you don't care when they're killed. You're like, oh, good. Okay.
That is true. They are just like camp. Fodder. Yeah.
This is camp.
So just, we can air out marital things on the podcast now without getting in trouble. So we have this huge argument, but like, I'm not allowed to say things suck because Rye keeps saying that I think suck are
not, not everything. Some things are camp.
But if it's
camp, like your schlock talk, you like that. You like,
right. But I like things that are self-aware bad. She's like, no, it's supposed to be bad. I'm like, I don't think it is. Hmm. She's like, it's camp. I'm like, that doesn't mean it doesn't suck.
You don't understand.
I guess I don't.
You don't. It's okay.
Stupid idiot. You don't get
it. I forgive you.
The driver's pretty bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
The driver's
kind of bad too.
The cop's not great. The motor, like all the people who get killed aren't.
The cop looks like this the whole time. He's like, guy like doesn't blink. I know this is a bad podcast. I mean, his eyes are like wide open the whole time.
Wide open. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, last thing, the music is pretty good.
Yeah. The music is good. I love the music.
And like the score, it's not like built up like a Harry Potter or like a Home Alone where it's like super produced, but I kind of like it's like bare bones, just like.
It goes with what's going on.
Yeah, it's good pace. It's good pacing.
I think it's supposed to be like theater music, right? Like very. Yeah. Like
well, I think it was the same guy who did Young Frankenstein. Oh. I think the same composer. He did a lot of those. Mel Brooks movies, I feel like.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Roger Ebert gave the film 2 out of 4 stars, writing that it has, quote, promising cast, but the, quote, screenplay is so very, very thin that the actors spend most of their time looking frustrated as if they've just been cut off right before they're about to say something interesting. I don't
disagree.
I don't think I can agree. Read on that.
Yeah, that guy can sit on my two thumbs. Fuck that guy.
Well, he's doing that in the sky right now.
Oh, that's right. Rest in peace. But terrible review.
R.I.P. Bad review.
All right. You guys got anything else that we haven't mentioned? Clue? Any more nuggets?
For me, too, it's just through the movie by the end when they're just like, schlepping the bodies and tossing them. I was giggling like a kid last night.
Yep.
So funny.
Yep.
Well, who do they? The motorists. They just like
the motorists.
They just like just drop them. Who's there?
Just they like no, like they like lifted him up high to then drop him.
Nobody. Yeah. He's gone. Yeah. I just want to personally thank all of you for letting me do this. This is my favorite movie, hands down. And any excuse I get to watch it, it is an utter delight. So this was a blast, and like I will probably watch this again this week.
Seriously, I can't believe I've missed it. I've not watched it in so long, probably because it's not like readily available on any active streaming service. But then when you watch it, you 90 minutes flies by.
Yeah.
Reminded of all these like hilarious parts and just like the chemistry between everybody in the cast. And you mentioned delight, treats. Like these are the words to describe Clue. And what age do you think you would show the girls Clue?
So I just said the last night, I go, oh my God, they need to watch this. Like this was around the age, I was probably like 8 or 9 when I really watched it.
Yeah.
Like on my own.
But we have shown them, again, they're like neck deep in Stranger Things right now, but we have shown them things from our youth that while it wound up being like wildly inappropriate.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It's like you might remember like 80% of a movie or a show, and then like the other 20% as you're sitting there watching it with them, you're like, oh fuck, I didn't.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, never. I put on Land Before Time.
Yeah.
Oof. Fucking mistake. Yeah. I was like, in the first 5 minutes, I go, I just turned it off. I'm like, never again.
No.
That's horrible.
That. Yeah.
Tough stuff. No. All right. Good stuff. That'll do it. By the way, if I already mentioned it, but if you haven't seen it, Davey's full breakdown of the Odyssey trailer is available everywhere here at Dork Podcast. Next week, big double dork to wrap up 2025. Right. Stranger Things Season 5, Volume 2 and Pluribus. Bill, you watching Pluribus?
I thought it was the best first three episodes I've ever seen. And then since then, it's like, I get it. She's alone.
I know.
It's a little slow.
I got to see how this finale goes, but I've definitely kind of soured on it. I think the premise is incredible and some of the stuff they've done. And it's one of these great shows of like, what would you do if you were in this spot? Like, it's one of the all time shows.
Oh, I can't wait to answer that question, 'cause I know exactly what I would do.
I have a feeling I didn't know what your answer would be. But yeah, it's like, okay, kind of, we got to get going here a little
bit. I can't answer on the podcast. I'll just say I would have concert after concert after concert after
stick
concert.
Around. Yeah, like, stick around after.
Just we'll like Bruno Mars again. Yeah. Let's go.
One more time.
Yeah. I thought they were going to meet her and like the other dude like in an episode.
Yeah. We're
like six episodes. I'm like, oh.
We're taking our time. So we'll talk about that. Regardless, we'll see if they stick the landing on it or not. Then we'll have some of our best of, and then we'll get the Dorkies just a couple of weeks away. So it's all coming your way. Thanks again to the Davies Ryan and to Billy D and to everybody else out there. Stay curious.
The Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Maybe sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code AUDIO.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really? Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
I'm Sarah Austin Jeunesse, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.